So our next presenter is Dr. James Wilson, and he'll be presenting on first steps in constructing a public health GIS in Eastern Indonesia. Dr. Wilson is currently an assistant professor in the Department of Geography at Northern Illinois University, where he teaches health geography, maps and mapping, and environment and society. He obtained his PhD from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and he has previously worked as a research associate and associate director of East Carolina University's Health Systems Research and Development and GIS Unit Manager for North Carolina State Center for Health Statistics. Please join me in welcoming Dr. James Wilson.
Well, thank you. Good morning, and as they say in Indonesia, or ask, apa kabar, how are you? And today we're going to talk, I'm going to talk a little bit about some work we're doing, continuing to do in eastern Indonesia in a city called Makassar, a population of about 1.4 million people and growing very rapidly. This presentation is sort of the diametrical opposite of our first presentation in that we're not dealing with tremendously large databases, but we're really starting from scratch in many instances. A quick acknowledgement to my colleagues, Ansari Yadi, who is at the University of, well, Universitas Hasanuddin in Makassar. He's an epidemiologist at the School of Public Health there. And Dr. Tomoyuki Shibata, who's my colleague in public health at Northern Illinois University. I have no relationships to disclose. Funding for this came from our in-house summer research and artistry grant. I managed to make a stretch through 2 years, and combined with the NIU study abroad, we did get an IRB for this. Our initial study and our reason for going there was we were evaluating children's environmental health in Indonesian community settings. We primarily looked at diarrheal diseases as well as pulmonary diseases and infections. And we also gained permission from the city of Makassar to conduct surveys. Briefly, an outline, the goal here of this project is to improve health statistics and what the role of geographic information systems might be. One thing we needed to do was understand something about the local geography and applying GIS, and what kinds of public health applications might we be able to pursue with a GIS. And I will share with you some of our initial results of GIS applications. And of course, there will be limitations and possibilities along the way. Objectives: understand geographic and public health care organization Indonesia. That's something we'll learn a little bit about this morning. We'll be able to evaluate potential GIS data. So there are problems with coverage, consistency, and there are limitations, as you might imagine. And I'll provide some examples of GIS visualization. Mostly we'll focus on demographic characteristics as well as typhoid. And then I'll make some conclusions and recommendations at the very end. A couple definitions. Puskesmas is the health center at the sub-district level. It's about the equivalent of a district is really about the size of a county or a county equivalent. It's the abbreviation for Pusat Kesehatan Masyarakat, which is basically health center, public health center. And as they have a tendency to abbreviate a lot of things in Indonesian, this is kind of a carryover for more military dominance in the past decades, where they tend to abbreviate a lot of words. And then we have sub-centers, pustus, also in this system. I got my main interest in this began a few years ago when I was reading over this Lancet series about, well, it was entitled Who Counts, and the name of it was Scandal of Invisibility. And here they talked about the importance of civil and vital registration systems and the lack of for most of the world. These systems can be seen as essentially public goods necessary for policies and programs aimed at improving health. And kind of the dark side of all that is biosurveillance. And, you know, there's a lot of people who don't particularly want to be measured or looked at. who owns the data, who owns the data about our bodies, and so forth. So there's a growing literature in this sort of thing, and this is something I'm trying to be sensitive to in all of this. Several years ago, I went to a National Center for Health Statistics. They have a meeting about every year or so about different kinds of projects that are going on. Intervention and measurement, and one of the things that's always floating in the back of my mind is supposedly ascribed to Lord Kelvin of Kelvin temperature fame, absolute zero, and so forth. And he came across saying, well, he's attributed to have said, if you can't measure it, how can you change it? And really kind of the motivating force behind all this is looking at some aspects of the Millennium Development Goals, and here we were looking at specifically reducing goals aimed at reducing poverty, improving sanitation, and improving childhood and maternal health. Hence, we were looking at diarrheal diseases and respiratory ailments as a focus. And through this, in improving health statistics, we are thinking of this in terms of developing not the information system, but a complementary health information system that can kind of tag along with the basic health information system that they have in place. And one question you might ask in any given place, in a Puskesmas or a set of Kelleron, which I'll describe in a moment, are there more cases occurring than we would normally expect? This might be important for the allocation and management of public health resources there. We may be able to assess our interventions, for example, if we know something, if we are able to count and visualize. We can also start to maybe think about where we might want to conduct surveys and some studies. And this is also a good educational tool, we feel, since we worked with some of the public health students there at the university, a good educational tool for them as well. And it's also good for generating ideas and partnerships, at the very least. Okay, a little bit about the geography, how things are arranged there. Coarsely, on the left-hand column, you'll see the sort of worldwide system that's available. I give the website at the very bottom left there, Global Administrative Areas Units. They're broken down and ordered by country, sequence, province, Kota or Kabupaten, Ketchumatan, and so forth. You can get many of these available free, of course, online through that website. And there's parallels here with the U.S. Census, for example. And so what I've done is given the equivalents in the U.S., okay? And so we're going to be talking about going down very much to something that's similar to the block group level in the United States, the Kelleron or DESA, which is really village level. And a Kelleron, or several Kellerons, will make up one Puskesmas, or one community health center, one or more. Here's an example of kind of a sketch map that maybe some Puskesmas have available, and we'll call it the Puskesmas catchment area, made up of several Kelleron, for example. And sort of in the center is where you would find, you can't really see it too well, the community health center, the Puskesmas. And around that neighborhood, or around the Puskesmas, you will see RWs, which are the next level down. They're about equivalent to our census block. I'm not going to try to pronounce it at the moment because I know I'll foul that up. Well, one useful adjunct to our look with GIS at Indonesian health data was using Google Earth. And we were able to use Google Earth in conjunction with a program, earthpoint.us, available through earthpoint.us, that will take coordinate measures that you maybe use a GPS or your cell phone, and you're able to plug them into this, and it will produce a KML file for you to plot on right on top of your Google map. And what we have here, a couple areas to focus on. This is the Puskesmas catchment area, basically what you just saw on the previous slide. Here it consists of one or more Kelleron. And nearby we have UNHAS, the university from which we worked. So it's very close to this area. We sent a lot of students out there taking particulate matter measurements and so on around this area. And down below we see the landfill. And this is kind of a geographic reference area. We also took measurements at the local landfill. And we'll take a look at that in a moment. In fact, the moment is here, all right? And here we're looking with my equator to the back, the equator to my back. We're looking at a dry season shot, maybe taken 10 years ago, and the blue and yellow is a traverse that we took walking around on top of the landfill. So you can see that, you know, mostly it seems to be made up largely farmlands, but you're still within the city of Makassar. And we take a look at towards the end of the dry season, the early dry season, say in July. Things are starting to dry out a little bit, and you can kind of see some of the settlement there. It's interspersed in there is a lot of farmland. You can see that that landfill is perched right on top of rice fields, and so you begin to wonder maybe about leachate and this kind of thing. It also goes a long ways in explaining, if you look at the settlement, how things are arranged. For the longest time, I wondered, why does it take so long to get from A to B around this place? Looking at the map, you really can't tell. And then you realize that you're really driving along peninsulas, because half the year, the place is flooded. And there are no roads in between one point to the next. A very linear type of arrangement. And so this may be something to consider when you're redesigning or thinking about location allocation of resources along Puskesmas lines. And that's the wet season. So there you can kind of see that now we become peninsulas, maybe even islands during this time of the year. And another shot there. And it shows you're underwater here next to the landfill. Okay, now seasonality gives you an idea about the kind of rainfall that they get beginning in what might be our winter, late fall. You see the very peak there is their January rainfall, and this is more rainfall than they get in Seattle in 1 month. They get there in January. It's a little bit less than 40 inches. Seattle gets about 38 or 39 inches of rain a year. And Chicago, where I live now, is probably about 35 inches of rain. So in 1 month, they get quite a bit more than that. Traced on top of this sort of seasonality, these curves are looking at diarrheal diseases, cases. Small dots would be those under five. The dashed lines would be 1 to 5 years and 5 years and older. So we were thinking, is there any kind of relationship here between seasonality and cases? And it's a little bit difficult to tell there, but there does seem to be some kind of flow, ebb and flow of cases over the course of these years. This is dengue, and that's pretty much peaks around this is limited data here, but you can see it sort of peaks around the more rainy parts of the year. And here we have typhoid cases, and we were wondering if maybe there was a relationship there. And we found in this case, for October, there was quite a bit of an outbreak. But here we're just trying to get a feel if there's any kind of commonality between seasonality and case reports. Okay, GIS, what kind of data did we have available for us? Okay, well, what kinds of problems? We have the public health population, and that's really only a segment of the total healthcare-seeking population there. Private healthcare is growing. And there's, of course, an overlap between private and public. And also, patients don't always attend the same Puskesmas. They don't necessarily go to the one that they live nearby, or you would think that they would go to because their Kelleron is a member of that Puskesmas catchment area. And they don't always, as we found out, and we can't figure out why they would not want to, it wouldn't make any difference to them, why they don't always provide the correct address. This is an example taken from an Excel sheet, data that's been coded onto a worksheet in Excel, showing what we have here is by age group for those that have been suspected of typhoid, broken down by Puskesmas area on the left, giving totals and so forth. All right, so they're collected within the Puskesmas, and the idea is you're supposed to write down, well, how many from this particular Kelleron and so forth. But you do get age group, gender, month, and so forth, and sometimes not. Data are easily put into Excel. Here's a recent example where we have Puskesmas and Kelleron by month totals, and also another regionalization, the Ketchumatan, which is equivalent to a census or a census tract in the U.S. So there's Puskesmas and Kelleron by column. And there's a large number that, there's a term there, Luar Wilaya, which means Kelleron not provided. In some cases, we're about 25% of the Kelleron are not provided. And that is just the equivalent of a census tract, the Ketchumatan. All right, we have boundaries of Kelleran, and we can construct other areas from these, namely Puskesmas. We have some demographic data, number of households, population by age group and gender, and we do have poverty measures. Here's how they classify poverty. As of 2009, they have if you satisfy any 9 of these 14, you are classed as a poverty household. This include size of the house, quality of building materials put in the house, source of drinking water, presence or absence of electricity, the type of latrine facilities, frequency of meat and milk consumption, types of foods, frequency of eating, these kinds of things, highest educational status obtained, and so on. And here's using ArcGIS. This was a little while ago, and this is a map of Kelleran boundaries. It turns out this is somewhat a stylized version, even though it's official. It came from the city of Makassar. I've had quite a time in trying to make it bend and warp to something that's actually projected, so I'm still working on that. And we have basically a base map, which you have here, and we can attach it or join to attribute data, which may be diarrhea cases or, in this case, typhoid. And this is just another example, taking 2 data sets and joining them together. We can also construct from Kelleran Puskesmas catchment areas using a GIS. And here are some results. The Kelleran, in the bottom right, you'll see kind of the location of Makassar in relation to the rest of Indonesia. It's really right dead center. It's like a gateway to eastern Indonesia, growing very rapidly. They, of course, because being in the dead center, many of them will tell you that they really should be the capital instead of Jakarta. There's a lot of back and forth, as you might imagine, between Jakarta and larger cities throughout Indonesia. But this is showing population density, and really not a big surprise, closer into center of town, center area. You see Kelleran boundaries getting smaller, smaller land areas and so forth, and higher densities as a result. This would be household densities rather than individual density per square kilometer. Notice in the upper right, or this would be the northeastern part of the Kota, and in some cases you seem to have, given the statistics or the way it worked out, that one person may actually have one or more households because you have a ratio or a percentage of less than one. Okay, and so this is poverty. And here's showing the catchment areas once again. And now I'm looking at typhoid cases. Notice in the upper right, or I would say the northeast again, that we see some cases of typhoid. These are just cases. These are not rates. And some other areas in the south. And then we have Puskesmas, typhoid cases reported at that level. And we see in the upper and the northeastern quarter again, higher counts. And case rate per 10,000. And going to Puskesmas level, we see basically what a Puskesmas does for you looking at it that way, or when you aggregate, it has a tendency to smooth out the data. So we see, though, we have the highest cases here in the northeastern part, but we also see that this is also one of the regions of least poverty. So you can't really, at least based on the map, make this association between poverty and typhoid. It turns out that there's a certain population that's exposed to typhoid, and this is usually the youth that are going to school and going to food stands and so forth, where there are lots of flies buzzing about, buying food at these warungs, as they're called, and getting a quick meal. Okay, some questions we can ask are pneumonia and respiratory illness, for example, balanced among these Puskesmas? If not, do these differences represent something going on with patient health-seeking behavior, or is it a difference in just the way Puskesmas diagnose symptoms? Okay, and so can we redesign these catchment areas? And if it's something else, like number 2 there, then more study would be needed. We can redesign catchment areas, and this is kind of a geometric representation, and this probably would not be necessarily possible because of the kind of spatial arrangement that we saw earlier. These people, the settlement, are not uniformly distributed, so something like this is probably not that applicable. In other words, not too realistic. So, getting close to the end here. Data coverage is not complete. We have public versus private utilization. Data can be recorded inconsistently. They do use identifiers, much like they do in the United States, FIPS and ANSI codes, for example. But frequently, they also use different spellings, and they don't always put the codes there for you. Diagnosis is based on symptoms. Lab confirmation just is not economically feasible. Commercial GIS is expensive. Learning curve is steep. And how sustainable, if you were to employ GIS at this level, would these programs be? So again, we're looking at it as a complementary or adjunct utility for managing resources. We think of it as another way of visualizing health data. You can conduct and blend together health studies using GPS, good training for PhD students going out and looking at environmental health factors. Currently, we're working on a way to move to open source GIS that is free, such as QGIS or Quantum GIS and GRASS, rather than something more expensive and proprietary like Esri products at this moment. That's it.